Welcome to Tuesday morning, and today is day 16 of our 49 days. Today is called Your Gut Brain and Stinky Socks, which is an interesting place to start. So the question of the day is, what is your breathing method going to be today? What are you going to rely on when you feel like you want to touch in or reset? So we'll do a little review of what we've been doing with breath work, and then you can sort of have a, it's like having something in your pocket. Breath work of the day. Maybe I watched too many spy movies. So the first breath that we began with, and I would say is a really good start, is the regulation breathing, where you find a breath counter on 5 or 6 in, 5 or 6 out. So let's just drop into that. Nice deep breathing. And we're using that metaphor, the egg, so we can breathe in to a kind of fullness. As we breathe out, there's no real sense of pressure, but we do want to empty the body. Inhale, find your breath count, find your comfort place, good posture. Exhale, and the focus is just to get on regulation, on rhythm, on evenness, on balance. A lot of people use wobble boards nowadays to improve their agility. So think of that as kind of what regulation is about, is preparing for agility. Another thing we've been playing with that breath is what we call umbilical breathing, where the focus is on as you breathe in, when you breathe in, you actually want to feel like you're breathing in through your belly button. So let's try that. Breathe all the way out and then find the empty place, find your belly button, and then inhale, feeling your belly button move from your spine and your belly fill up, fill the egg. Exhale. And this also brings up the energetic context I call a yolk, like the egg yolk. And when we breathe in, we can draw in whatever sensation or metaphor of awareness we want to fill that yolk with what you need. I like the word aliveness because it's kind of a good, well, good start for life. So just sort of give yourself a moment to imagine situations where a regulating breath might be really a good idea. And I don't know, it just popped into my mind being pulled over by the cops and just staying in that relationship of presence. Then we have the breath where we breathe in and hold it at the top and then breathe out. And that breath is usually about letting something go. So if we inhale, feeling your egg, feeling your yolk, hold it in. Imagine something that you'd want to clear off of yourself. Take the image of that and send it along its way. We can use the same breath. If we breathe all the way out, breathe all the way in. As you hold the breath in, think of an intention, a prayer, something you want to see happen and change. And then see it happening and changing as you breathe out. So that's what I call breath number two. Again, that's about releasing and sending. So the next breath is about receiving. So we breathe all the way in, and then slowly all the way out. Hope you're getting familiar with your breath count. And then you hold the breath out. And think of a need or a sense of meaning that you really, really want to fulfill yourself with. When you're ready, breathe in. deep into your belly, deep into your yolk. So just try that a couple of more times. Breathe all the way out, hold the breath out. What do you need? What matters to you? Inhale that experience. And relax. If we were to be in a moment where you weren't in a very discerning place, but you really felt like you wanted to connect, touch in, and become more energetic, then you could use that number three breath. Breathe in, all the way out. And as you hold the breath out, feel what aliveness feels like. Feel the emptiness where your breath is being held. And as soon as you're ready, breathe in a feeling of aliveness. And just let it spread out from your yolk to your egg, to your fingers and toes, the tip of your nose. All like a puppy excited to play, full of aliveness, because that's just an instinctual thing to do. And because we're becoming more, high-level badass meditator people, the thing we want to become more aware of is, at this point, our solar plexus and how it has to do with stress and bonding and social stuff, and also fundamentally your diaphragm and how you can breathe. So we'll try what we often call our Shaolin breath, where you feel like you're breathing in through a straw, but the focus is also really on your belly button. So as you breathe in through your straw, nice and slow, your belly button is kind of attracted to your spine, but trying to make room, So your breath fills up and down. And as you let go, just let the breath go, and then maybe play with your belly button towards and away from your spine to really keep your solar plexus activated, and to make sure that all those muscles and coordinations become very deeply familiar. Because some of these practices are kind of a trick to lure you into an experience that doesn't really make sense until you get there. So with a pure Shaolin model of being underwater, you breathe in through the straw as far and deeply as you can to fill your egg. And then just let the water pressure empty your body and then empty the rest of your body. When we get into the pure reverse breathing, it's all about your belly button and your spine. So inhale, keeping your belly button and the spine kind of vibrating towards each other. As you exhale, you try and play with the belly button moving away from the spine. So the straw breath is more about drawing in and pushing away from the inside out with pressure, just to slow down the breath and really exaggerate your muscles. And reverse breathing is similar, but now we want to play with the sense that your belly button and spine have a limited relationship of how far they can go apart. And again, this is meant to not only improve your breathing skills as somebody who breathes every day, I hope. it's more about tricking your brain into getting very familiar with a mind-body sense of you, because that's what this is all about. So another quick question is, how are you going to shift your state today? Things to have sorted out before you leave in the morning. What will I do for a state shift? One of those common questions on a Tuesday. So we've been playing with our innate minds, and we're shifting maybe our terminology and perception a bit. So we have our animal aliveness, and that's your spine and sacrum. And if you actually move around like that, you will be in a specific state. And the sensation of that is often described as jing in Chinese medicine. Your kind of mojo, your real animal aliveness from a personal level to a physical, physiological level to a cellular level. But it's also a state. So if you can shift state, well, now you're a shaman. Kind of. Step one. So see if that's something that throughout the day when you're, especially you say driving in the snow or dealing with not falling in the snow or just anything that has to do with animal awareness and instinct, see if you can really tap into a state shift to your horse or your animal body, your sacrum and spine, or the feeling of your qing. The next thing we want to play with is our interactive self, and that has to do with how things move back and forth, and it has to do with how we communicate. And any of you who know me from a Chinese medicine background will know that I keep changing my definition of qi. Guess what? I changed my definition of qi. So what I've been using lately is instead of energy, which is a horrible translation, which is why I keep changing it, I'm using the words communication and circulation. So if I think of my liver qi, it's my liver circulation and my liver's ability to communicate with the rest of the body, because my pet peeve is that qi is not a noun, so coming up with nouns for it isn't really helping. So communication and circulation, like meditation, are words that are consistently in action. So if you're going to state shift, if you feel your gut brain and your face brain and your communicating, interacting brain, that would be a state shift towards presence of qi, presence of collaboration and how we actually interact. So for those of you who have some kind of clinical practice or really have to communicate clearly with people, imagine dropping into your qing and then dropping into your qi or your intuitive collaborative self and really be present to people in a very energetically subtle way. Some people would call that being polite. The other state shift opportunity is to move towards that more existential awareness of being, which is always there, but sometimes it's in the background. Sometimes we talk about that as our binoculars, because that's kind of how we see the big picture. In Chinese medicine, we would describe that as shun, which really just has to do with what we're doing with attention and how that actually brings a sense of meaning into life. So that state shift would be towards a spiritual aliveness, right? I wouldn't recommend trying to make that an over-the-top thing, because we all know what it's like to be around those people that are so in your face with spirit that it's crazy. That would be considered rude in about 90% of the cultures on the planet. So, we can be our Jing self and feel our animal awareness, sacrum and spine. We can be our Qi self, touch in with our intuitive gut and face and voice and how we communicate. Be more present to that, more curious. We can be our more spiritual self or our Shen self by just noticing that your heart space and what your pupils are up to are fundamentally a way to tangibly feel how to feel that kind of presence. And that's kind of how these traditions work, as they sneak up on you. So, what's this about gut stuff and stinky socks, huh? So, I used the word yesterday to cower. And that's meant to be something that actually feels very uncomfortable. So for those of you who are kind of, that's not a very nice way to put it. It's not about the nice way, it's about the instinctual way that we handle our lives when it's going kind of badly. So if you have our fight, flight, and freeze physiology, which is kind of below your belly button. And then we have our tend, befriend, social experience, which is more above your belly button. But there's also an aspect of the tend, befriend that goes back millions of years, well, as long as matters, a few hundred thousand years anyways, is the context of social banishment. So that's something that we've all been dealing with, especially in high school. And if you remember high school, there was a lot of butterflies in your stomach. Because we're trying to learn how to socialize, but we're in an environment that's the least effective place to learn how to socialize because it's all very compressed and intense. So when I use the word cower, it really has to do with the instinct to belong and to avoid banishment. And if you grew up in an environment that was hostile, distracted, addicted, in other ways where your parents weren't giving a very consistent Qing self, Qi self, and Shen self to their children, it comes to us as children to try and navigate around the other person's way of being to get those instinctual connections and needs met. And this has been my experience working with somatic work for a very, very long time. I'm also presently doing a year-long training with Gabor Mate, who's a really high-level Jedi at this kind of work. And that's his affirmation as well, is that most of what goes wrong with our lives happens when we're quite young, about trying to find a way to have a bond with people who may not know how to do that very well. That oversimplifies about 10,000 pages, but I just wanted to bring your attention to your gut self. Because when we want to play with this experientially, the best way to do it at first is to go back to our visualization of playing tag. So there's the flight or fight part, right? I'm running away. No, when I'm running towards you, I'll win and all that. But there's also a symbolic kind of cower and connect to playing tag. Because on one level, you're really trying to connect and win by tagging someone. And another level, you're running away, but maybe not too fast because you really want to get tagged because you really want to connect. But there's also playing out the, oh, no, don't get me. I'm right here. Oh, no, don't get me. But here I am. Which I think is half of dating for the first while. But there's also the actual really deeply instinctual cower of, in the symbolic metaphor of playing tag, please don't touch me. Please don't hurt me. Please don't get closer to me because you're dangerous. And whatever happens next is not something I want. So that's a really important place to be aware of, is that we have this very deep radar of how we feel and how we have felt around connecting with people. So when you feel your gut, it's the most intuitive place in the world. And I know neuroscientists who are all just totally about the paperwork and the graphs, and they'll actually say, oh yeah, we can prove intuition's more effective than anything. So yeah, even the lab coats are saying intuition is the most important sense we can trust. So what's this about stinky socks? Well, that's a weird metaphor for the fact that human beings can habituate to any sensation. So if I was in a college dormitory and I went to visit my friend and my friend had the bad habit of putting their stinky socks under their bed because college students do stuff like that, at a certain point when I go and open the door to visit my friend, all I'm going to smell is rotting, smelly gym socks. Sorry for that image, but yeah, it's gut stuff. The tricky part is my friend can't smell the socks anymore because they're there all day, every day. And that's called habituation. And the animal nervous system negates anything familiar so that it can stay up connected to things that are dangerous and novel. And we're going to learn about that part of your brain next week. But I just want you to be aware that you might not be aware of something that's basically sitting right underneath of your bed like a big bag of stinky socks. And most of those feelings are suppressed in our gut. So when we're doing our breath work, say the reverse breathing, the Shaolin breathing, we're trying to connect through your solar plexus into a whole bunch of really deep, wired, and often hidden memories. So if you don't feel like that's a place you want to go, don't go there. If you do want to go there, make sure you're giving yourself permission, time, a bit of state shift to be with whatever it is that you need to feel there. Because that's mostly what drives our stress, is just this constant feeling of stuffing down the stinky socks. So what we're really trying to learn here is about Qigong and something called Dao Yin, which is a really old way of appreciating how sensation is as meaningful, if not more meaningful, than thought. So this is our week of the gut. Choose your breath of the day. Choose your state shift of the day. And then maybe choose what aspect of playing tag in life is actually, I guess, appropriate, or may just bring your attention to itself throughout the day. So this gives us an experiential superpower, because we're not trying to avoid and we're not trusting habituation. And that is really the entry point into actual deep practice. So it's day 16, and now we're actually ready to start really learning about meditation, somatic mindfulness, what discomfort brings up, especially around the stinky socks metaphor in a cold shower, and what it is that we're feeling before we reach out to stuff something down in the opposite of sobriety. So I hope you find a really good breath for today, or you have five or six to play with. I hope you're beginning to feel the giddy freedom of state shift and are actually applying it as an experiment to explore yourself. And also, I hope this gradual unlayering or unpacking of your instinctual self is bringing you closer to who you energetically and spiritually really are. So tomorrow we're going to learn about tortoises and acupuncture meridians. So I hope you can be here for that. Have a great day. Keep breathing into the meaning of your life. Keep getting your needs met and stay as instinctual as you can, because that's always happening. See you tomorrow morning. Have a good day. Oh, and it's the full moon today, and I was going to talk all about the seasons, but I'll do that tomorrow. Anyway, enjoy the full moon. Question. Yeah, I would definitely do the releasing breath with that one, and probably initial cold shower, so that I could make a whole bunch of really instinctual noises to really move what's going through my throat or sing or chant. And if it really does feel anger, see if you can find out what it's about and against, because that's the feeling that really has to soften a bit. Otherwise, we're holding it down. So, see you guys in the morning. Have a good one.